You heard how it went down. Now, time to sum it all up. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
He's going to dribble it before he hands it off to Wigginton. Wigginton right back to Thanasis, who takes flight with a big two-hand slam.
Recap everything you need to know about this game right now.
As the final horn sounds, we are done with the regular season here in 2022. On to the playoffs.
Now, here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise!
Justin Garcia. Yeah.
Nothing settled. We play 47 minutes. Here's a pass to the left side. Allen squeezes off a three, and he got it from the left wing. Grayson Allen puts the Bucks ahead by three with 30.9 seconds to go.
Well, he hit seven of those Sunday night against the Mavericks. Just one tonight, but one was all he needed. That Grayson Allen three-pointer, obviously the shot of the game. And a nice offensive game from Jrue Holiday. More terrific defense from Brook Lopez, who, look, not only does Brook have to be clearly the front runner for Defensive Player of the Year, we have been making the case on this show for 5 weeks now. 4 weeks, basically. Brook Lopez should be an all-star with the way that he has played so far this season. And what is most impressive is you win when Giannis fouls out in a close game with, what, 70 seconds left, basically. The Knicks were coming on strong. Jalen Brunson felt like he was starting to take over. You lose Giannis, and you still make the plays to close this game out and win down the stretch. It's the exact opposite of what we talked about a week ago. 1 week ago tonight, the Bucks had that disappointing loss, the only loss last week on the four-game homestand against the Chicago Bulls. And we said it was a disappointing loss because it was a very winnable game. Bucks didn't play particularly well, but the Bulls just made plays down the stretch and the Bucks did not. Tonight, the Bucks made those plays, and they are 10 games above 500 now in the season. And just think about that. You're 15-5. The Boston Celtics seem like they're never going to lose again, but that's neither here nor there. You're 15-5, 10 games above 500 on the season. And you've played all 20 of those games without Chris Middleton. You've played 15 of them without Grayson Allen. You've played all 20 without Joe Ingles. You've played four or five without Jrue Holiday. It's Javon Carter, Brook Lopez, and Bobby Portis are the only three players who have played in every single game this season. The Celtics have dealt with some stuff as well. They had to replace a head coach just before the season started, and they still don't have Robert Williams. But you cannot have anything but good things to say about where this Bucks team is as we head into the month of December now. 20 games into the season, and you've won 15 of those 20 games. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk, as this 10 games above 500 is the high watermark for the Bucks. Previously, it was 9. Done that a couple of times this season. Obviously, the 9-0 start and getting a 10-1. Both of those 9 games above 500 came at the expense of the Oklahoma City Thunder. But 10 games above 500 now for the first time this season. And the elephant in the room is what may happen on Friday. So what we know will happen on Friday is the Lakers come to town. We think that means LeBron James and Anthony Davis will play, though you never can tell. And we know that means Darvin Ham, our old friend, will be on the opposite sidelines. But what we think could happen, as we just talked about, the 20 games that they've played without a certain someone, where there's smoke, there's fire, and it certainly seems like we have seen something start to spread here. Could we get a big return on Friday night? We'll get into that. We got the highlights to get to, the sub of the game, and of course the turning points of the game. A lot to pack in here. 855-616-1620 to the number for you to join us as well. More after this on Bucks Talk. 109-103 final. Bucks beat the Knicks in Madison Square Garden. They do it when Giannis fouls out in the final minute of the game. They do it in the game where Grayson Allen hits 1 3-pointer, but it just so happens to be the biggest shot of the game. And they are 10 games above 500, despite being nowhere near 100% to open up this season. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. And let's head to the phone lines and talk first with Jade in Mequon. You're leading things off.
Hey, good evening. Good evening. Thanks for taking the call. Just a couple of things. I know that you've mentioned it about, you know, some of the great things that the Bucks have been doing in spite of the injuries and where they are currently this early in the season, where we're headed. I know that recently there's been a lot of talk, social media for sure, about a Grayson Allen trade possible with Jay Crowder and maybe another piece. And I just wanted to put this out there and ask if you think that's still on the table, even though Grayson has been playing really great offensively as of late. I mean, tonight, was it like 11 points, but he had the biggest shot of the night. And the other night with the 7 threes, I think he's way more aggressive on offense. So I think the Bucks could stand to make another move, but with Grayson playing as good as he is, I'm not sure if he's the right piece to put on the trade block. So I just wanted to know what you thought about that.
Yeah, and here's the interesting part is we don't know that that was ever really on the table. I think it's just putting two and two together. So Jay Crowder's a guy that I think you look at and you say, well, if the Bucks are going to play smaller and play Giannis at the five, you need a stretch four that you can play on the floor defensively at all times. And Bobby Portis has made strides, but Bobby Portis isn't necessarily that guy. So enter Jay Crowder. The only way to get him, really, with the current salaries on the team and the way the roster is constructed, is Grayson Allen. So I think people have just kind of said, well, it's going to cost you Grayson Allen, so what if you did this? You have no idea if Phoenix is even interested in that. You have no idea if the Bucks are even interested in that. If it's me as the general manager, and I think you were kind of getting at this, I'm not interested in that. I'm not opposed to Jay Crowder being on the Bucks, but at the expense of Grayson Allen is where you lose me, because I think he's an extremely valuable piece to this team. And you mentioned, and we've talked about this in the broadcast throughout the year as well, he's made a lot of strides offensively. He's been much more of a creator. And he's had to, frankly, because of the injuries that this team has had. But he's shown that aggressiveness. He's gotten better at finishing around the rim. Not that he was ever bad at that. And you know how gifted of a shooter he is. But I think it's easy for people to look back at the series against the Celtics and say, well, this is why you need to move on. Can you trust him in the playoffs? I still think you can. That series looks a whole lot different if Chris Middleton's healthy. And I think there's that.
Correct.
If Grayson Allen's not on this roster, depending on what you bring back, you run the risk of being very, very thin in the backcourt as well. And we saw what happened last year when injuries occurred. But, you know, also, I just think the larger point is I don't necessarily hold last year against Grayson Allen, because if Chris Middleton's on the floor, number one, you're not asking him to do quite as much. And secondly, the defensive matchups change, and who's out there defending Grayson Allen and how easy it is for Grayson Allen to get more open looks changes as well. So I think he's being held to an unfair standard, because the team was nowhere near healthy in the playoffs last year.
I'm just wondering, too, when Ingles comes back, obviously, and Chris is back in the rotation fully, minutes are going to look a lot different for Grayson. I would presume, depending upon if the Bucks want to go small or not, in certain situations. So minutes is going to play into how aggressive he is, or if he gets into a flow as well. So I guess it was an interesting thing, and it's been on social media quite a bit lately. As I stated, never heard anything, you know, from the Bucks at all, just kind of like hearsay. But I just, like, I'm really anxious to see what Chris is going to look like and what Ingles is going to look like when all these pieces kind of come together as a whole. So,
yeah, and I think there's a bit of anxiousness to see Chris, just because I think Chris was he was okay last year. His numbers weren't, in terms of the efficiency as well, it wasn't what he was at a year prior to that. But again, I mean, think about the wear and tear and how compressed everything was that season prior. And, you know, Chris wins a championship and he and Drew board a plane and go to the Olympics a couple of days later. So I'm sure that all factored into it as well. I'm really curious, you mentioned him, to see Joe Ingles and how he fits with this team, because I think we've spent a decent amount of time talking about this offense has really struggled, and it's the defense that's pushed them to 10 games above 500. But Chris and potentially Joe Ingles are two very big pieces to the half-court offense that you haven't had.
Right. 100%. Thanks for taking the call. I appreciate it.
You bet. 855-616-1620. The number to join us on the show tonight is the Bucks 10 games above 500. And you know, we had the conversation about Jay Crowder, two weeks ago, when it seemed like it was really picking up. And there were some reports that trickled out a week or so ago as well that there was a alleged proposed three-way deal that the Suns weren't interested in. But look, I don't see, and I know these are famous last words, I just don't see this team moving on from Grayson Allen because of the value he brings. And the other thing, all the points we just made about, I do trust Grayson Allen. He's been a much better facilitator and shot creator and finisher. He's obviously the best shooter on this team. And I'll scream it from the mountaintops. He looks different when Chris Middleton's on the floor, and his performance in the playoffs last year, it's totally different if this team is healthy and Grayson Allen isn't asked to be one of the better offensive players and take on that load. But, I mean, also here's the big thing, and this isn't just Jay Crowder specific. For anybody, let's say you do make some type of move that involves Grayson Allen, you have to keep this in mind. I understand this team is trying to win a championship, and that's your timeline right now, is win now. But they're also getting to be a fairly old team. Brooke Lopez is in his 30s. Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday are in their 30s. Giannis is in his prime. But you're getting to be an old team. Wesley Matthews, George Hill, Joe Ingles. It's an old veteran team here. At some point, and Marjon Beauchamp has looked overall good in the limited action that we've seen from him. But at some point, you got to get an influx of youth because, one, you got to get younger, and two, you need more controllable, cheaper salaries because of how things have blown up. And you can keep pointing to, well, when the new TV deal comes up and the new CBA, cap is going to explode once again. That may be so, but still, you'd like to see some of those dollar figures come down and have somebody that's productive and on a fairly cheap deal. And that's what Grayson Allen's at right now, under $10 million. He's younger, 5 years in the league. Like, this is exactly what you need for a team that's aging and having players that are upwards of 30 and making max deals and super max deals. And this isn't trying to get into the whole, well, who's really worth a max deal? It's just stating, here's what your books look like. It'd be nice to have somebody that isn't making a max contract or close to that, that's giving you productivity. And that's what Grayson Allen is doing. So that's another area where it's really difficult to talk yourself into moving on from him for that reason as well. And I understand this isn't going to go away. As long as Jay Crowder is still out there, this is going to keep popping up sporadically. But I'm not opposed to Jay Crowder. I'm just not in favor of moving on from Grayson Allen forever, for whoever it is. I think he just gives you too much at this point, and too many of the areas where you really need something. Grayson Allen is filling that void. 855-616-1620, the number to join us. We'll get to the turning point of the game after this on Bucks Talk. .109, .103. Bucks beat the Knicks in Madison Square Garden. They do it with Giannis on the bench, fouling out for the first time this season. I am old enough to remember when Giannis fouling out was almost a daily conversation. that we would have on this show and other shows of, oh, man, Giannis has got to learn how to stay out of foul trouble. First time this season, 20 games into the season, and Giannis fouled out of the game. And look, here's the other thing, not to turn this into a discourse on officiating. It's a difficult job. A lot of ticky-tack calls in this game. And I'm not one to complain about the officiating. That's not what I'm doing here. There's a lot of ticky-tack calls in this game, and it seemed to really be in favor of the Knicks, or favor the Knicks. Not necessarily, boy, the Knicks are getting all the calls, but the way this was officiated seemed to favor the Knicks. The Bucks are a physical team. And if they're not going to be allowed to be that physical, it's going to take a little bit away from their defense. They're still an elite defense, but that was a big advantage for the Knicks in this game tonight. 855-616-1620, the number to join us on Bucks Talk. It is not an episode of Bucks Talk if we don't hear from our pal, Dick in Port Washington. You're next.
Hey, my man. You know, I don't often say this to you, but I just totally agree with you about Grayson Allen. And here's my take, and let me just talk this through, okay? So when Chris comes back, and I think we discussed this before, I think Grayson's going to go to the bench. It'll be Chris, Javon Carter, Drew, Brooke, and Giannis in the starting five. And I think, and tonight, I think Bud kind of did this. If we move Grayson to the bench with Connington and maybe Ingles, he's the unknown. I mean, you almost got to take him out of the picture. And you got Bobby. I think what might happen here is that you're going to see Hill and you're going to see Matthews. They might not make the rotation for the playoffs unless for defensive only.
Yeah.
You won't expect anything from them on the offense. But just think of the bench when you got those guys. I mean, he can search for a guy that can shoot, you know. And Bud's got a heck of a lot of confidence, Grayson Allen. He said after the game that Bud drew up that play where he made the three, his first and only three of the night.
Yeah.
That just speaks volumes to me. I just hope I don't see what Crowder's going to bring us that we don't have. And you can't make the comparison to I'm sorry, I lost his name from 2 years ago.
PJ Tucker.
Yeah, BJ Tucker. He's not a PJ Tucker. I'm sorry. He people talk in Phoenix about his 3-point shooting. Look at the numbers. They've been going down every year.
Especially last year.
The biggest point that you mentioned, pardon me?
Yeah, I was going to say, his shooting has gone down the last couple of years.
Right. The biggest thing here is, and your point is so right on, we can get younger by hanging on to him. We control him for another year. Crowder, you're going to have him not even for a year. And he's getting older. I think he's got some attitudinal issues. I think Grayson has worked through his. I just think it would be the worst possible thing the Bucks could do to move Grayson Allen.
Yeah, and it's not that Jay Crowder's a bad 3-point shooter, but I think a lot of people think of, oh, the Jay Crowder that we saw in the bubble where he was just absolutely lights out. And what he did basically from the time he got paid to take a vacation in Memphis and then was acquired by the Heat. I mean, he was a total lights-out shooter for the Heat. He was 45% in that run, but he dipped. I mean, he's mid to low 30s, and you know, obviously haven't seen him this year. I don't know realistically what you can expect from him, and I think the big thing is also this. I get if you want to say he gives us more defensive versatility than Bobby Portis does, sure. But I would also counter with this. We are seeing, and it's not league-wide, but we are seeing more teams play big. And I understand you got to keep an eye on who are the teams that you're really going to be competing with. So you think about Boston. And right now it's just the Bucks and the Celtics. But you're seeing more and more teams go big. Brooke Lopez has been an all-star. I know it's just a quarter of the way through the season. He has clearly been the defensive player of the year, and he's been an all-star. And I think Bobby Portis has been a capable defender his time here with the way the Bucks will utilize him. So, one, you would say, well, how much more of a boost are we going to be getting defensively at this point? And secondly, look, we don't know the entire story behind his impending divorce with the Suns, but all the talk of, well, he didn't take too kindly to having to compete for a starting spot. How is he going to feel here? Yeah. Because he's not going to start here.
Yeah. So, I totally forgot about that. In Memphis, he also was paid not to play, right?
Right. He played a handful. Okay. He played a little bit for the Grizzlies.
Okay. So, I mean, if you're hiring an auto technician and you've got reports of two times the guy decided not to come to work, why in the heck would you want him to your team where the team is playing so well together now? I just don't see pluses on this side. I just don't.
I think the only plus, and he played a little, he played actually a little more than a little bit. He played somewhat consistently in Memphis. It was really Andre Iguodala that was the one that was basically paid to go away. But, I mean, I would say this.
Yeah.
We're aligned here, basically. I mean, I think there's more positives at this point with Grayson Allen to just keep riding this out. But I would add this. I mean, I do think we've seen this with a handful of guys now. The basically will pay you not to play has done a nice job of extending careers and giving you one more boost of productivity. I mean, look at what it did for Al Horford last year. Look what it did for Andre Iguodala in brief spurts, and now it appears that's over. But also, I know back surgery is different than just being paid not to play. But Brooke Lopez missing two-thirds of the season last year, I also think that's a big reason why he's looked so rejuvenated and effective so far this season.
Absolutely, absolutely. And one other thing I'm going to say, and this might I might get a lot of backlash from this, but and to me this is totally different than Aaron Rodgers running the Packers. They better run any trade pass our top three players on the team and see who they want to play with. Basketball is so different than football in the sense that when you're on the court, you're playing as one. And you just better make sure harmonious relationships continue. That's all I'm saying with that. I mean, so that's my opinion.
Yeah, and Jay Crowder just turned 32. Grayson Allen is 27, so right there in the same age range as Giannis. And again, it's not to say you can't it's not to say you can't have veterans on your team. You need some of those, but you can't be the team that's entirely comprised of guys that are in their mid-30s.
Right, and your point is well taken. We need to get a little bit younger, and this would do it. This would help. This would really help. So
before I let you go, Dick, speaking of getting younger, I mean, how do you feel that tonight brought an end to the streak that Jordan Wara is no longer on the list of players who have played in every single game for the Bucks this season?
Right. But you missed my first comment. I said they played the right guys.
Yeah, I heard. All right, Dick.
That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying, my friend.
All right, Dick. We'll talk to you later. 109-103 final score. Bucks take down the Knicks in MSG. Still a lot to get to on the show. Some more calls trickling in. We will get to those momentarily. We still got the turning point and sub of the game as well. We will get to all of that after this on Bucks Talk. .109-103, Bucks win it in New York against the Knicks. They are 10 games above 500 at 15-5 on the season. All 20 of those games played without Chris Middleton, played without Joe Ingles, 15 of them without Pat Connaughton, a handful without Drew Holiday, without Grayson Allen. Giannis has missed three games as well. It is three players that have played every single game this season: Brooke Lopez, Bobby Portis, and Javon Carter. And the fact that Brooke Lopez has played every single game and has been as effective as he has been is the biggest positive so far this season. 855-616-1620, the number to join us on Bucks Talk tonight. Head back to the phone lines and talk with Greg in Honey Creek. You're up on the show. Hello, Greg. Greg, are you there? All right, I guess we don't have Greg. 855-616-1620, the number to join us on the show. So that does give us the opportunity to pivot here and look back at the final few moments of this game where things really started to sway, the turning point of tonight's game.
The moment it all turned around, for better or worse, this is the turning point of the game.
So there were a handful of these plays to really pull from, some back and forth possessions, but whenever the Bucks win one of these games, more often than not, it's the Bucks' defense that is the reason for their success. And that defense came up big tonight, specifically Brook Lopez. Once again, two more block shots tonight for the NBA's leader in blocks and in contests. And this back and forth game down the stretch in the final few minutes, you knew it's, you got to hit shots, but your defense has got to come up with stops. And that's exactly what this Bucks defense did late.
Brunson down low. Bounce pass underneath. Shot blocked by Lopez. Lopez is saying it went off of Randle, and he's going to get that call his way.
Big defensive stop there from Brook Lopez. The Bucks would score on a Drew Holiday jumper after that to double up the margin and go up to four. Knicks would eventually tie. I mean, Grayson Allen had the biggest shot of the game, but that was a big stretch as well. Giannis was still in the game prior to fouling out. Knicks had a chance to tie it there, but instead the Bucks defense comes up big, makes it a two-possession game, and we would be tied, but they would never give up that lead from that point forward. The turning point of the game tonight, another big defensive stand from Brook Lopez. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. And look, we haven't even gotten to, we've spent a lot of time on the, well, I wonder if this is actually true, and well, the reports are saying maybe there could be a Grayson Allen type of deal for a guy like Jay Crowder in the works. Well, we haven't gotten to the story that's really started to pick up in the last, what, 2 days? We spent a lot of time talking about this team getting to 10 games above 500 and doing that without some pretty big pieces. But you've started to see more and more trickle out that Friday could start to change a lot of that. As in Chris Middleton. So we continue to hear, well, Chris is close. And it was before the game against the Mavs on Sunday that, again, when we met with Coach Mike Budenholzer, you bring it up and you, well, what's the latest on Chris? And the update we were given was, he's close. I know that's real vague. I know we've said it a lot, but he's close. And now there's more and more reports coming out that it seemed like Chris Middleton's going to be back Friday against the Lakers. And as we mentioned with Grayson Allen, in a series against the Celtics, he looks a lot different if Chris Middleton is on the floor. But this is a team that they've weathered the storm, but you need Chris Middleton back. I mean, obviously you need him for the playoffs, but you need him back even in the regular season, because despite everything we've said about Grayson Allen, despite everything we've said about Brook Lopez and how good they've been, Drew Holiday, it always ebbs and flows with Drew, and now we're in one of those spots where the offense is starting to come along. Giannis still needs help, and he's been great of late. But it was, what, a week ago that everybody was asking, well, why is Giannis in a slump? He's been asked to do a lot, and you look at the usage rate, how is that going to change? Well, it's going to change with the second best offensive player making his return. The offense has been not even mediocre. The offense has been bad for the Bucks. And again, how that changes is Chris Middleton and the half court offense. So it sounds like there is a pretty, pretty good chance we could see Chris Middleton as early as Friday, which will be a sight for sore eyes. 855-616-1620, the number to join us. Let's head back to the phone lines, talk with Justin in North Carolina. You're up next on the show.
Hey, Middleton coming back is really going to catapult this team, man. I feel like we, and I can say we because I feel like we're all from Milwaukee, we're all Bucks fans, we fought through the losing seasons in the Bradley Center to Mecca, et cetera, right? So I know a lot of people say when you're talking about a team, you can't say we unless you actually suit up. But we can say we as long as we've been Bucks fans.
Look, if you watched a game the year they won 15, you can say we.
I went to 5 of them in person on the road and went 1-4. So I feel like I can say we, right? So Middleton coming back is going to be huge because a lot of the pressures will come off of these guys. But we got to caution some of our fellow Bucks fans that he's not going to come back and be Chris Cash Money from 2021 December, right?
Right.
It's going to take some time. He's going to gel back in. But the most important thing is once we get to these playoffs, if we get Middleton back, that's going to really put us kind of on an equal coin flip matchup with Boston. I still think Boston's really tough. Brogdon is really starting to come into his role with them.
Yeah.
So Boston is going to be tough, but nobody else in the East but Boston, I feel like, can, or the entire NBA for that matter. I know those West guys, they're all right, Justin, but they're not us, man. And I think the thing that's going to take us over Boston is Giannis is better than Tatum, period.
Tatum's been really good this year, but yeah, Giannis is better than Jason Tatum. You got to be healthy is the big thing because, I mean, look, they had a 7-game series last year when the Bucks were without their second best player. So if we get another Bucks-Celtics series, you can only imagine what it's going to be like if both teams are healthy. I will say this, and I know I'll probably get laughed at by some, but I'm not completely, and let me preface by this, I don't mean any of these teams I'm going to mention are on the same level as the Bucks and the Celtics, because it's clearly the Bucks and Celtics, the two best teams, not only in the East, to your point, in the NBA right now, and then there's a drop-off, but the Eastern Conference, I'm not willing to completely write off the Sixers or even the Brooklyn Nets at this point, not to say winning the championship, but as a team, that's not going to be a really, really difficult out in the second round.
That's fair. That's fair because they have top five players in the entire NBA. So I can give you Brooklyn and Philly a tough series, absolutely. And even Atlanta might be a tough series. But I just don't think with a healthy Middleton and a healthy Ingles coming off the bench or starting whatever the case may be, that those teams can compete with us. We're seeing a different George Hill this year. And I know folks have called you about trading Grayson Allen. He showed in these past few games. This is why we don't trade him. But I'm going to tell you the best thing about tonight, Justin. So I'm Justin from North Carolina. You know, our mothers are great women because they give great names, right? But I'm across the border in Virginia, so I could bet on the game tonight. George Hill missed the first free throw and made the second one, and they covered the spread, and I won money tonight. So I'm a happy Bucks fan tonight, my guy, Justin. And Saturday, I will be in Charlotte. And this is what I hope to see in Charlotte, Justin. I hope to see no Middleton, no Giannis, or a light Giannis, a light Brook, and I want to see Beauchamp and the rest of these younger guys get a shot because that back-to-back, and you know, the Charlotte game is a 6 p.m. Eastern tip-off, which is 5 p.m. in Milwaukee after playing the Friday night game. Yeah. So I don't expect to see a lot of our stars, and that's okay. But we got enough talent on this bench and with this entire team to beat Charlotte's best. And then go on and beat Orlando in Florida on Monday, man. So, you know, my guy, you keep up the great work. I listen every night. I try to call. Shout out to my guy, Dick. I hope Jordan Noor gives him a reason to call in on a positive note, right? You got to throw that in there on the way out.
All right, Justin, we will talk with you later. Look, I'm going to go out on a limb and say you will not see Chris Middleton on Saturday. Like, either he's he's not back, period. Or there's no chance he's playing in a back-to-back if, in fact, he is back on Friday night. 855-616-1620. Squeeze in one more call here, and let's head to Maquonago and talk with Jim. You're up next.
Hey, great show, Justin. I love how Brooke is playing, and I think that's what we missed last year. But I'm a little skeptical in a contract year. You know, I've watched the NBA for over 40 years, and this is for baseball and football for that matter. I get leery, and I'm not saying Brooke's going to do it, but I'm just leery of guys who play big in a contract year.
Well, here's...
I want your opinion, because I think at the end of the season, you give him a 2-year deal with a team option in the second year. I mean, I'm just worried about somebody like, say, Charlotte or Orlando bring the Brinks truck in to get for Lopez. I mean, 7 foot, 34 years old, I believe, and he's got back problems. What do you think?
So, Charlotte will have no motivation unless they have completely lost their mind. I mean, that's a team that is headed nowhere, and signing a he'll be 35 at that point. 35-year-old Brook Lopez makes no sense. Orlando has more than enough big men. But I get your point of what if somebody says, well, we really could use Brook Lopez on a shorter-term deal and let's throw some money at him. But maybe it's naivete, but I'm inclined to think the Bucks would probably do the same. And if you're Brook Lopez, why wouldn't you just stick with where it's worked and you've really revitalized your career? I know it started to change once he went to Los Angeles and became the guy that was the 7-footer that was just camping out behind the 3-point line, but I mean, it's gone to another level in Milwaukee. What I will say is I get your uneasiness about seeing a guy perform like this in a contract year. I am frankly stunned that Brook Lopez has played in every single game this season, including back-to-backs, 1 year removed from back surgery, and at 34 years old, you got to assume that's going to come to an end relatively soon. Maybe this weekend we don't see him. But not so much even the whole contract year discussion. Where it is very interesting is, you know, not just this year, really ever since he's arrived, Brook Lopez has been the linchpin and the guy that how he goes is how the defense goes. That's the importance that he has on that end of the floor. And we saw last year how quickly things went south when he was out. So where my uneasiness is, you know, sooner or later, you got to start thinking about and preparing for life after Brook Lopez. And I don't know what plan B is. And I'm glad that's not my job to determine, because it is going to be really hard to not just say, look, as long as you want to play, we want you to play here.
But would you give him more than a 2-year deal?
He'd
be 36 going on 37.
He'd be 36. And so this is it, too. This is the last deal Brook Lopez is going to get outside of not minimums, but outside of becoming a mid-level type of guy. And also, a 2-year deal is going to take him to that age range, not to get way too into the weeds here with the CBA, but a 2-year deal is going to take him into the age range where he's very limited in terms of the contract that he can get, because the league has specifically put this in place to police teams from running things the wrong way and giving, you know, exorbitant amounts of money to players in their late 30s. So it's very rare. I mean, I would assume Brook Lopez is probably going to get like a 2-year plus one deal. And unless I see a much different version, and look, I'm not too naive to think that sooner or later, and maybe it's this year, you're going to start to see a decline. But at this point, the importance that he has, I would be very hard pressed to not give him a 2 or 3 year deal to stay here.
What is if somebody offers him a huge deal? Would you match it, depending on the numbers?
Well, I mean,
would you take that chance going against the cap?
Well, and here's the other thing. Yeah, and thanks for the call, Jim. I mean, as we get closer to the end of the season, it's probably worth revisiting. And that's assuming you don't, you know, have further clarity on it. But the other thing is this: with the way the cap works, if you're the Bucks, one, there is no plan B right now. As we said, preparing for life after Brook. I mean, there's not a guy that's waiting in the wings. You think back to like Thon Maker, if he would have developed. Mamadi Diakite, remember a couple of years ago when everybody thought, well, I mean, he's going to be the guy that develops, and then he can slide right in there. Well, you got nobody. I know the Bucks really like Sandro Mamukelishvili. Sandro is not an NBA 5. You don't want Giannis to be a 5 in the regular season, at least for extended periods of the regular season. So that's kind of where their hands are tied. I mean, you could try to do the same thing that brought you Brook Lopez and say, well, here's a guy that does things we value that we don't think the rest of the league necessarily values, and we're going to get him on the cheap. You think back to that first deal Brook signed here, $5 million. But the way the cap is set up, and this isn't even getting into the new TV rights deal and everything's going to explode like we talked about earlier. That's neither here nor there. The way things are set up, you have to retain assets. And I think not to get back into litigation over should they have kept PJ Tucker or not, I think the big thing that you would have pointed to as obviously the fit and how he allowed you to play different. The other big component to that was you got to keep assets. And it's the same thing we went through when, and look, we haven't forgotten how many of you thought the Bucks were crazy to pay Chris Middleton that much money, but it's the same thing we went through then. You can't pay Chris that much, just let him walk. It's not that easy because you can't let him walk and then go sign somebody else, especially for a team like the Bucks, and especially for this Brook Lopez conversation for where they're at in the cap. You can't just let him walk and say, okay, we'll go use this. You can sign. You can use an exception on a guy. So we're talking about like $5 million. You have to retain those assets. If for no other reason than having a contract, you can eventually move. That was the issue the Bucks ran into the last couple of years, and it's the same conversation we had where you can keep talking about a guy like Jay Crowder, but look at the roster and how it's comprised. Grayson Allen's the only contract in that range. So that's another thing that would make me lean towards, yes, if it's 2 years, if it's 3 years, whatever it is, fine. I will sign you to that because you continue to be productive. And if things do go south, once we get to the end of that deal or near the end of it, we have a contract. We can move to get something else. That's just how the league works. It's not even productivity you have to keep an eye on. It is contracts. It is Excel spreadsheets and keeping an eye on, okay, well, this means this, and this would get you this value. And that's another reason why I think, yes, whatever it takes to retain Brook Lopez, you have to strongly consider that. 855-616-1620. Number to join us here. A couple of minutes left on the show. As we mentioned, a rare home game on Friday night. We will preview that and wrap up the show after this on Bucks Talk. Bucks hang on to beat the Knicks in New York, and now 10 games above 500 on the season. 109-103 final score. They had to lean on the bench because we saw Giannis foul out with about 70 seconds remaining. That bench did come up big, but who came up biggest? Time to check in on the sub of the game.
The bench mob was hungry, and someone ate. Who was it? Tonight's sub of the game is...
Well, this seems like a no-brainer. You finally got a double-digit performance in terms of scoring from Pat Connaughton. George Hill was good once again. George Hill's been very good this season. But our guy, Bobby Portis, 10 points, 12 rebounds tonight for Bobby. His 12th double-double of the season. It's tied with Giannis for the second most in the league behind Wisconsin's own Tyrese Halliburton. Bobby Portis. Once again, the sub of the game in this 109-103 Bucks victory. We will wrap up the show after this. It's Bucks Talk. 15-5 start to the season for the Bucks. Maybe we see Chris Middleton on Friday, but this Bucks team just continuing to roll here despite being far from 100%. The Boston Celtics winning again tonight. So they're 18-4 on the season. Bucks 15-5. Those are your top two teams. Not only in the Eastern Conference, in all of basketball at this point. And, it's worth pointing out, too. you continue to see, well, since the ladder incident, not even since then, last couple of games, it's not the offensive production and the field goal percentages from Giannis, just overall what he's done at the free throw line where it may be most important. Giannis' numbers at the free throw line since that game against the Sixers, or since that game weekend lost, after the Trailblazers game, Giannis has since gone 6 of 9 against the Bulls. Not bad. Nice. 10 of 14 against the Cavs. 8 of 10 against the Dallas Mavericks on Sunday. And 9 of 12 tonight against the Knicks. So continuing to get better and better and more consistent at the free throw line, which is huge. Bucks return home on Friday to take on the Lakers. It's a 6:30 tip. And we're going to have a lot of early shows coming up. 6:30 tip on Friday, 5 o'clock tip on Saturday, and a 6 o'clock tip on Monday. But Bucks and the Lakers is next on the schedule. That's Friday night, 6:30 tip. 6 o'clock is when the network coverage begins with Dave Kane and myself. And as always, Bucks talk immediately following the game on these stations. My thanks to everybody for joining us tonight. And to Tommy Wirtz and Chris Larson for producing the show. We will talk to you Friday night with more Bucks Talk.